Bones are amazing things. They hold us up. They support us. They make us strong. But bones have other uses. In the past, bones were thrown by diviners, seeking out the mysteries of the future. Now the bones are cubes, made of plastic or resin, but they still reveal things to us. As they fall from our fingers and rattle across the table, the story becomes clear. Welcome to Bone Throwers Theater, an RPG actual play podcast.
Hello and welcome back to Bone Throwers Theater. This is Johnny playing Professor Edric Farthings.
This is Jeremy playing Captain Orion. Put you back in your place, James.
This is Jeff. I'm playing Sergeant Willis, still stuck in a tree, Masters.
This is Carlin playing Dran, shoot first and then run, Renner.
This is Stephanie playing Dr. Miranda, covered in bees and about to die, Kristoff.
And I am Jordan, the person who makes your doom come true. So, previously on Bone Throwers Theater, the last thing that we saw was the collective Captain James's having a conversation about what they needed to do next. Just a little bit of an explanation as to what happened when Landing Team Alpha actually made it to the surface. Another thing that we had been talking about was Edric Farthings trying to put together a stun weapon that would work against the bee people to try and eliminate the bees from their sources. Miranda had her special meetup with Wendy and the True Hive.
Girl talk.
Yeah. Catching the buzz, you might say.
Aww.
Jeff is in the middle of his metamorphosis. He will emerge a beautiful butterfly.
A tree cutting down butterfly.
Okay.
I'm going to take this tree out. I don't care if it likes me or not.
Do it.
So let's go ahead and go back to Miranda.
Oh, really?
Yes, I've been waiting for this.
I don't know. I'm on the ground, covered in...
That's what? Where you were when we left off last time.
250 pounds of bees.
Now...
Maybe she can make us some honey.
As you...
Yes!
Fresh honey.
So what happens after Dran ran away and left you covered in bees is that...
Oh, good. I thought you were asking me. I'm like...
Mm. No.
I gotta be walking on
the Something good?
All of a sudden, you feel like... your body being lifted up off of the ground by the flying bees.
All right, I'm going to start fighting now.
How? What are you going to do?
Just struggling.
Okay. Go ahead and roll athletics for that.
You are how tall and weigh how much? Against hundreds of pounds of bees.
Yeah. I am a woman. You do know that's what I mean.
It's your character. It's not real life.
I'm 5 foot nothing and weigh 120 pounds.
Yeah, not gonna happen.
Is that agility?
Yes. It's gotta be heroic level.
Yeah. Well,
pathetic level.
I got an 8.
So, the bees pull you up off the ground, and they have you basically suspended in the air.
Fiction position.
Kind of, yeah. You know,
great.
And but they have left your face uncovered, so yeah. If anybody ever doubted that I had like horror in my veins, you know. So the bees have you basically suspended in the air, and you can see,
and I'm screaming
very loud and very, very
much higher pitched than
yes. That. And one, a true hive member, you know, in full bee regalia. You know, their face badges. Covered, their face is covered with the bees, you know, and, you know, when they hold out their hand and it's just like, you can't even tell that there are fingers there. That's just like a big mitten.
It's a bee mitten.
Of bees. They...
It's like poo when he sticks his paw into it and he comes out covered.
Yes. Yes, it
is. That's exactly what I was thinking.
Gross.
Winnie the Pooh, too.
Winnie the Pooh, yes. And so he comes up to you and he goes, and he points to Wendy. Do you want her to live?
Yes.
Come with us.
Why? What are you going to do to me?
It's not what we're going to do for you. It's what you're going to do for us.
Not what you, ask not what your country can do for you.
Ask not what your beehive can do for you. And they start traveling with you from the resting place of the bees deeper into the woods.
I'm assuming that's she's just going to stop screaming and be in total shock at this point.
Okay.
Yeah, that sounds like a plan. So Jeff got his wood hug, and she got a buzz hug.
Yes. Buzz hug. She is quite buzzed.
There are plenty of hugs to go around in nature here.
Buzz hug.
Dang hippies.
The next t-shirt in the series.
Hippie bees.
Buzz hug.
So, as they are going through the forest, Jeff, Willis is in something of a coma-like state. You know, he's in a fugue state, not quite asleep, but not quite awake because of all of the sensory perceptions that are going on. And then all of a sudden you start hearing this loud buzzing noise. And it's focusing all of your attention down to this one point. And you can see Miranda and Wendy being led through the forest.
Well, at least our faces.
Yes.
Being carried through the forest with bees.
By bees. And you can hear the forest saying, "We must stop them. But how? We're not powerful enough."
Ooh.
Ooh. What can Jeff do? He's petrified.
Yeah.
Wait, what is... And now we are going to cut to Edric Farthing.
We have Kipper Chan. I'm going to take over Kipper Chan for a second.
Okay, go ahead.
Science!
Science! Science.
So how's your science going?
I'm sciencing my science.
Sounds...
A decent roll in my science.
Yeah.
21 my science.
21 your science. And what is that roll for?
That's to keep working on the electrified...
Okay.
Alterations.
So how long have you been working?
I'm going to say I've been working on this particular task for 4 hours.
Go ahead and roll your notice.
Well, keep in mind, Kipper Chan knows how to get my attention by coming actually at 10. Like grabbing
him. Attacking you.
Yes, yes. Attacking
him and whatever professor.
Well, he actually tackles him whenever he needs him.
That's just a straight
Kipper
bet,
Chan's
right?
A former pro football player.
Team of scientists.
Hey. Professor. Nine, 10.
10? Okay. Kipper, go ahead and roll to get his attention.
Wit?
Yep. And you've got to beat a 10.
You beat a 10.
With
a 20.
Well, fortunately, you're working well and you're doing a great job, but you do need a bit of a break. And so Kipper, when he comes up to you, does have something to say that really catches your attention.
Kipper, how can I help you?
So I've drawn up a schematic here of how we might use the wires. And this is based on pretty much how, I mean, we original thought was to take the vines, but we don't want to use the vines because...
Yeah, we want to have electrical charge.
Well, electrical charge, not only the floor, it's contaminant... Vines? One second. Calm. To Captain Quebec. Captain Quebec, yeah. I need to see you. We need to get a communique to the station and charges out of the tent.
Man, I wonder what that was about. So, he was saying something about the wires versus vines and contaminated. Oh well, back to work I go.
Back to science.
Back to science.
Kipper's reminding me of Sheldon all of a sudden.
We're going to go ahead and cut to Carlin.
Dran.
Sorry.
I'm not one in the same.
No.
We all hope not.
So Dran was running through the woods. So is he back at camp by this point?
Sure, he could be back at camp.
And if he's back at camp, is Stanton?
Stanton. Sure.
Okay. So, honestly, he's just kind of quickly going to wonder what the heck is going on with Stanton.
Okay.
Why he followed him when he said no one should follow.
Don't you think that would be a good conversation for him to have with the first sergeant?
Robinson?
Yes.
Yeah, well, no. Because he
didn't know he was ordered.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. So he's just kind of like, why were you there? Stanton.
No one leaves by himself.
Thought I told everyone nobody followed Miranda. This is a dangerous situation.
I didn't follow Miranda.
You followed everybody me? Nobody follow Miranda. Wendy.
Okay. Got it. Oh.
Yes, you did say Wendy.
That's true. That's true. You're right. So I changed that to Wendy. No one followed Wendy.
I wasn't following Wendy.
You were following me then?
Yes, I was.
For what reason?
Safety in numbers. I mean, anybody who leaves the encampment got somebody to go with them. I saw you leaving.
Can I do like...
Radioed to First Sergeant, and he said, yeah, just go back him up.
Use my perceptive perk.
Okay.
In this situation.
So your perceptive perk actually gives you the ability to get further details about something from...
Something that no one else would be able to pick up on in this situation.
So how do you want to use your perk?
To basically figure out, as kind of like in Pathfinder, like sense motive.
Yeah.
Right. To figure out what the true motive is behind what Stan's up to.
Okay. Before you use that, I think you would need to roll wit to like start sizing up the situation, and then we can use that perceptive to advance.
Word up. I've got one die that's just rolling. This would not stop. 11.
11's pretty good. It seems like that Stanton is being pretty much straight up with you about the situation. You know, and he's told you that, you know, for the first sergeant has told him to back you up. But he does kind of seem a little shifty when he mentions the first sergeant. Because wasn't Stanton the one that... Who was the one who was being tasked to actually follow Dran through the tent?
Oh, yeah.
Robinson was the one who was first tasked by...
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
So he does seem a little dodgy about that. But, you know, you can't really...
So is it enough for Dran to understand that there's something fishy going on with Robinson, in a sense?
Yeah, I would think so. I would think that this would give you a bit of a sense that something's rotten in the state of Denmark, and it might be Robinson.
Okay, so Dran is just basically like, it's a good thing I was there, and you didn't get killed, and then just walks away.
Okay.
And then he gets on his comm and does a comm to everyone and calls a meeting.
Okay.
ASAP meeting.
Oh, fantastic.
Was this after you guys got back from...
Running through the forest.
Oh, frolicking
in the woods.
All the way back?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, we're in...
Question.
Camp.
Answer.
Dan is still in the med tent with... which guy was it? Caprio?
Yeah, Caprio was the one who had been incapacitated.
Was that by bees or by leopards?
Jaguars.
Jaguars.
Sorry.
It's jaguar Spikes covered in
club
bees.
To the head.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's right. You're right.
Alrighty. I was just...
It was one of my finer moments.
Yeah, nice. Yeah, so Duran's going to call the meeting. Do you want to do the meeting now or later?
We can do the meeting now.
Okay.
Which, I'm just to let you know what Kipper Chan would have told...
Oh, yeah. Do you want to do that scene with Quebec?
And it doesn't necessarily have to be a scene unless you want to make it a scene.
We can go ahead and do. We can just go ahead and just do say what happened.
Okay. Kipper Chan is going to bring to the attention of Captain Quebec the need to contact the station because there are plants on the station which are contaminated.
The plants that they sent back.
The plants that the first team sent back.
Hmm. Yeah. Hopefully no one ate them.
Yeah, I don't think it was like salad that they sent back. Here's a nice Cobb salad that we picked from Earth.
Yes. That could make a lot of money.
You just have one of those scientists saying it has to taste everything.
Oh, yeah. It is one of the five senses.
And being the botanist would be a good one to sort of make that call.
Yeah. Yeah. So he goes ahead and does that. Okay.
And being a scientist, a non-military person, he would try and establish contact directly to the science department rather than go through the military. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Excuse me, who are you trying to get a hold of? Science?
I feel like he, you know, you're going to need to make a roll against control. Because, you know, control is military.
I understand. So, I mean, that would be convincing Captain Quebec to...
Well, I mean, Quebec is willing to make any call. But control would decide where the call is routed to.
Mm-hmm. And it's also because you're not the head of the science team.
Okay. What do you want to roll for that? Wit?
Yeah, wit. Because that would be like your persuasion type of thing.
Or is that charm?
Charm? Yeah, you could roll charm. You're on the line.
Is there a choice?
Charm.
Okay,
sure.
Wit, charm. 4D in wit and 2D in charm. So.
Charm.
13.
16.
Yeah.
Blech.
So, control pretty much says, we would love to put you through to the science team, but we need direct authorization from the head science officer on the ground before we can pass on any information.
You can't even pass on a message?
I'm sorry, no. Not at this point. You could go ahead and give us a message, and then we will deem whether or not it is appropriate to pass it on. But we're not going to pass along anything carte blanche.
This is pretty appropriate, and he goes and tells him what's up.
Okay.
And then goes running back to the professor.
Yes. So, Mr. Renner has called a meeting of all the happy people at Landing Party Beta.
Yeah, trans meeting.
Mr. Renner, glad you're back.
Yep. I'm glad you didn't have to take over.
Did you even... Oh, yeah, you knew.
So is everyone at this meeting then? Everyone's accounted for?
At least everybody who's conscious.
Right. With the exception of a team that's right. On patrol.
Except yeah. The patrol, yes.
Which would be two people at this point?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Whoops. So Duran's basically starts going and he's like, for all of you who got the comm communication before about not following Wendy, we have yet another situation. Big surprise. Wendy ran off, in essence, and because she found out that she was infected. Miranda went after her. I went after all of them, and Stanton went after me for some reason. When I got to where Miranda had caught up to Wendy, Wendy had been overtaken by these bee creatures who we've seen before. Miranda was overtaken by these bee creatures as well. I tried my best. I killed one of them. But she was consumed and taken away. Nothing I could do. Got out of there. Stanton and I got out of there. Which leads me to the most important thing right now. We need to pack up and leave. We need to leave this premises now. It's 2.5-3 miles from here is where they were found. That's really close. If they come here, we're done for. So everybody pack up as fast as possible. And we're moving camp.
Mr. Renner, we are working on a defense mechanism to attack the bee creatures, mostly to defend ourselves in case we are being attacked, and we are pretty close to that. I ask that we be able to be stationary long enough to accomplish this. We're right there.
How much time do you need for that?
Give me another 8 hours.
Go ahead and roll charm for that.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Roll against that.
I win.
I lose. Oh, yeah, I lose.
Yeah, so... 18.
10.
Yeah. So Dran says, no, we can't give you the time. It's too important that we start moving. What I'm going to suggest is we get packed up ASAP. As soon as we're packed up, we start moving. And then when we set down for camp for the night, you just start working from where you left off. And that's the best we can do. I'm sorry. We have no choice.
All right. I have a command roll for that.
Yeah.
You want me a command roll?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Because not only you're talking to everybody now, not just...
Right.
Yeah.
That's not bad. 15? Oh, no. I get plus 2. 17.
Okay. They do see you as an authority figure. And they see that, you know, this has been something that is a fairly traumatic situation. And they've already had 2 attacks in only, like, 48 hours.
Yeah.
You know, so there are 3 attacks. You know, so they're pretty much... Everybody's got raw nerves at this point. And so they're pretty willing to just pack up and start going.
Yep.
And after the meeting, Captain Quebec would sort of discreetly go over to Mr. Renner and remind him that we've got a direction where we could go.
Immediately after the meeting, Farthings finds Kipper and asks where we are on the net.
And Renner wants to meet with Robinson.
Okay, let's do this meeting really quickly.
Which one? The meeting with Robinson.
Okay. So Dran goes in. I assume it would just be Dran like going to Robinson's tent after the meeting.
I'm assuming that this would be private, yes.
Okay, so Dran's basically like, look, I don't know what kind of games you're playing, but what's paramount right now is to make sure that we get everyone moving and get out of here. Anything you do to impede my leadership here is impeding the ability for everyone here to survive. Is that understood?
What are you referring to?
Is that understood?
That is understood, but what are you referring to?
That's all you need to know. And then he walks out.
That's the way it's been, Mr. Renner.
Oh, yep. Thanks for pointing that out. Just shut up for a minute and listen to me. Strand's quote. Like I said, anything you're doing to try and undermine me, have me followed by Stan, whatever, it's over. We need to work together on this. What I'm doing is in the interest of everyone here, keeping them alive, and I think that everything I've said that we need to do that people have gone against is proven. If you do not follow my lead, you are as good as dead.
Go ahead and roll a command roll for that.
I figured as much. It's not the best.
Go ahead and post that.
It'll be 10.
With what?
With wit.
Wit. It's only 10, so it's not a whole lot.
7.
Yes.
So how does it go? What's going on in Robinson's mind?
I mean, it wasn't really a command. I mean, he would respond to the throwing out there, having him followed. Like, look, you're now the leader of this expedition, okay? Yourself included. No one can pretty much go off by themselves without having backup. We, the military, is in charge of the safety of everybody here, including you, Mr. Renner.
That's understood, but going forward, I choose who goes with me.
If they're available.
That's how it's going to be.
I'm going to go through the women one at a time.
And then he says, now just make sure everybody's ready to roll ASAP. And then that's the end of the... That's all Dran needs to say.
And that's where we're going to take a break. And we will be back right after this.
Coming soon to a podcatcher near you.
Hey there, that's Carlin.
And that's Jordan.
We've got a lot of interests in common.
Beer.
Role-playing games.
Podcasting.
And movies.
We've combined the first 3 things in our podcast collective
Nerd Circle Podcast Productions.
And we thought it was high time we add movies to that list.
With that in mind, we invite you to check out Carlin and Jordan's Most Excellent Movie Night.
It's a weekly podcast that explores movies that can be found streaming on the internet's most popular paid movie service.
We talk about each film's story structure, symbolism in the film, significant themes, directing, acting. If you can think of it, it's fair game.
So with that being said, we dish spoilers like there's no tomorrow.
You think people care about that?
Well, it is the internet.
Ah, true.
Anyway, we would love for you to join us.
Absolutely. We want you to help us pick which movies to watch.
Check out our website, mostexcellentmovienight.com, for further info.
Or just search for Carlin and Jordan's Most Excellent Movie Night in iTunes.
Mostexcellentmovienight.com.
Where movies are most excellent.
All right, so we are continuing on now, and we're going to cut back to Miranda.
Am I still being carried through the forest?
Getting a buzz hug.
Whimpering slightly, trying not to totally lose my mind. Is Wendy anywhere near me?
Yeah, you're like pretty much what's going on. What happened was, as you were being led through the forest, there was a member of the True Hive in front of you, and like two behind you, and then
are we being led through the forest or like flown through the forest?
You're like being, it's on the ground, like you're walking
through.
Yeah,
okay,
you're being marched through the forest. Basically you're not doing a lot of movement, you know, because this casing of bees is pretty much just moving you around. It's probably one of the most disturbing things you have ever felt in your life.
Yeah, most likely.
And this that includes the kitchen punch.
How is that disturbing? I dealt with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're going through the forest, and it's just to give you an idea, it's True Hive, Wendy. So it's kind of like a string of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 of you going through the forest. And you can see where you're going because your face is not covered except for, like, all up to your ears and your hairline.
Have I been stung at all that I can feel? Like,
no.
I'm just crawling with bees.
You're
okay.
Just being crawled
right.
Over with bees.
That would feel so...
I'm figuring at this precise moment Miranda's using most of her willpower just to not freak out.
But
I'm gonna call to Wendy and just be like, Wendy, are you okay?
She has been stung.
Hyperventilating.
They're gonna kill us!
Shh, no, they're not. They're not gonna kill us. Let's just
How do you know that?
Let's just stay calm, okay, sweetie? We're gonna stay calm.
He's gonna kill us. We're not gonna get back.
Just stay calm. Wendy, deep breaths. Deep breaths.
I left the Lunar Alliance for this?
Just take deep breaths, sweetie. Just stay calm. Just stay calm, okay? What did we learn about bees in biology class when we were younger?
That they're not in space.
What did we learn about animals? That they sense fear, so let's just stay calm. Let's not scare them. And let's just stay calm.
As this is going on,
that was beautiful.
You come into this. You come to this clearing, that's actually back up against this rock facing. There's like a river that cuts through the forest at this point, and you can just wade through it, and there is like a cave on the far side that you can see. It looks like it's been eroded away by the water. There's a bit of a waterfall going over like where the cave entrance is, but you can see that there's a way to go back in there behind the water.
Okay.
So they actually, they march you into this cave and they just keep leading you deeper and deeper until they reach this natural chasm that's a good 40 feet high by about 120 feet
long. Cavern or chasm?
Like a cavern, excuse me.
Okay.
So when they get there, they actually, the bees just, and they fly up and you see like mud daub hives just covering the walls. And all of the bees.
Bees and wasps.
the bees just off into the hives. You know, and so it's, and as they're there, you see on several, like, pallets made out of branches and leaves and everything like that. You see the still forms of 8 people.
Of what?
8 people.
Oh, okay. Do I recognize any of them, or like their clothing or anything? Like, are they wearing fatigues?
They were wearing fatigues at one point, but they've all been ripped and shredded. A lot of them have bee stings.
Okay.
And you can tell that a lot of them don't look like they're in good health.
Okay.
And you recognize several of them.
Do any of these, like, are these the bee people that are walking between us, like, would they respond to me asking them questions or anything?
They just, they just keep going about their business.
Okay.
And then all of a sudden you hear, yeah, their business. All of a sudden you hear a familiar voice. Hello, Dr. Kristoff.
Okay, I'm going to turn toward the voice.
And you see AJ McKinley.
Or attempt to. McKinley? Is he the one who got the...
Yeah, had the beehive okay. stuck inside of him.
All right. I turn and what do I...
What do you see is that his face... He's completely covered in bees. His face is covered up to this point. So pretty much the only thing visible of him is the tip of his nose and just around his mouth. And as his eyes are visible as well,
okay.
And the pupils are contracted so much that all you can basically see are tiny little pinpricks in a sea of green.
Ooh.
And they're just kind of, the most crazy thing about his eyes is that they're cocked at different angles. Oh. So one is looking off to the left. And the one is looking off to the right.
Okay. How do I recognize that it's McKinley?
His voice.
Just his voice? Because I didn't really... Did I talk to him all that much?
You would have, like, in briefings and everything.
I mean...
Well, also, like, when you were in... Like, he was conscious after you did the initial
surgery.
Yeah,
that's true.
I told you that they were coming for me.
When did he tell me that?
Where he had the voices?
Yeah, I know he heard the voices. He didn't say anything about them coming for him.
The voices came, didn't they?
I see that. Are you all right, McKinley? Have they hurt you?
They've made me better.
Better how?
Stronger.
Faster.
Right?
Made him drink milk.
But those over there, they're not healthy.
Well, I would be happy to take a look at them.
Oh, good.
And see what I can do.
That's what they want.
Good. I think we can work together then.
Oh, good. And then you can become like me.
I would rather not.
But why?
Personally.
We're so happy together.
Why don't I just go take a look at the patients, and we'll discuss that later.
I'll see you in a little bit.
So she just very slowly and calmly walks toward the people on the
ground. Dr. Kristoff
turns slowly again. She's being very hesitant and slow in all of her motions and movements because she doesn't want to get stung or attacked.
The bees are all off you at this point.
Right, but they're still in the room. Oh, yeah. She's just... Everything is slow and methodical. So she doesn't freak out.
Dr. Kristoff.
Yes, McKinley.
Make sure they all survive.
I will do my best.
You must. And then his eyes focus on you.
Oh. Both of them were just...
Yes.
You?
I'll see you in a little bit.
She just kind of nods and then turns and walks toward the patients and goes to start checking on them.
Fantastic.
That was
so freaky.
That was creepy.
We were definitely bringing the horror.
What have we learned? Listen to Dran.
Okay, I will give you all a moment to compose yourselves.
Wow.
I'm good.
The worst part is our house is always crawling with bugs.
I'm gonna get you.
So.
I'm gonna get you.
When we last saw Captain James, he was getting ready to try and go back to the landing party Beta.
They may not be there at that point.
Well, this is sort of be happening as you guys were heading back.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
So
yeah.
Maybe.
So what are you doing at this point to prepare?
Well, I'm asking for my weapons back nicely.
Okay.
And I'm going to go through Burntail for that. Trying to establish more of a rapport. And checking on back with the other Captain James.
So you get your weapons back pretty easily. They're actually more than willing now that you guys are allies to go ahead and work with you and make sure that everything is good to go. Your gun is good. Your plasma rifle is good. You're still not feeling so hot, though.
Yes. I need to do a...
Heal check.
And remind me how that goes.
So with a heal check, what you can do is once per day, if I am remembered correctly, you're allowed to make a might check. And if you're successful, you get to heal a wound level.
I would like to approach Burntail.
Okay.
To see if we can do the assisted... healing.
And now at this point, you're severely wounded?
Yes.
Okay, so you would need a difficulty check of 6 to make sure that you would be okay with your part of it, and then she would have a moderate check.
Severely is, well, it's, even if it's minus 2, I have... Wait, no, we said for this you roll the full thing.
Right? Yeah.
Okay.
Go ahead and roll the full thing.
No.
Unfortunately, Burntail isn't even able to... She looks at your wound and says, there's nothing I can do at this point. We just need to let time continue on with the healing process. Now, if we had an actual doctor here, or one of your medical people, then things might go better for you.
That might be something that Aurora could sway them to hurry up your getting back.
Well, I mean, I haven't got a report back from her yet, so I don't know if that's being delayed or not.
Right.
So, yeah. And then one other thing, and I don't know how this would work, but one other piece of equipment, and this is to Burntail. One other piece of equipment, I've got my weapons back, thank you very much, but one other piece of equipment that would be very useful to me at this point is our radio communications. As you can see, mine is busted. The only other one would be off of the guy that's in the tree. Is there any way we could get that?
I don't have the authority myself to speak to the canopy, but as one of the sky people, you could talk to our ambassador and see what he says.
I will do that.
Sunflower rides.
Hey, Sunflower, how are you doing?
So you go to the dais in the middle of the encampment in between the three longhouses. If you remember correctly, there was kind of a U-shaped pattern to the how the longhouses were laid out. There was a dais in the center of that with four trees.
Mm-hmm.
One of the trees was the permanent home of the canopy ambassador to the tribe of Nine Claws. Or the Clan of Nine Claws, I think is what they're called. I'll have to look it up later. And then another one is currently serving as Willis Masters' incubation chamber. And the other two trees just look like normal trees from here. But you have learned not to trust anything right. about nature here. So you can go ahead and... go and talk to Sunflower Eyes, as we are now calling him, if you would like.
Yes.
Okay.
So, hey there, Sunflower Eyes.
Hello.
Quick question.
Okay.
The member of my team that is up in the tree now, has something that would be very useful to me.
The marked one?
Yes, him. Is there a way for me to get that?
It is not time.
We don't need to get him out, but is there a way to get something that he has?
If the tree is opened, he will die.
Thanks. And he walks off. And is going to go find Aurora now.
God, trees are difficult.
Right?
Stubborn.
That's why we just cut them down and burn them.
Oh.
Well. Okay, now that you've ticked off the ELF, let's go ahead and talk to Aurora. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, I can go ahead and... I have her card right here. So, Aurora is actually sitting in the longhouse of the chief. If I remember correctly, his name was Pouncer. And they are actually seem to be talking about a lot of issues like going on with them. There's this next to the fire pit that they have going to provide light and warmth in the longhouse, there is a sandy expanse that they have used. They've used like twigs and feathers and rocks and everything to mark out a map of the area. And you can see like where their tent is like a golden feather. With four rocks around it, and where the sky people's camp is, there's a black feather, and then there are several feathers in different locations that you're not quite sure what they represent, but you can at least tell from, you know, what you have seen so far, that they've got a lot of things going on with other areas. And so they're talking about that, and they're putting like little stones in specific places as they're talking, and they're arguing back and forth as you walk up about what looks like to be placement of different troops and like numbers and logistics and everything like that.
Okay. So
he's not going to interrupt, but he's going to come just up behind Captain James, sort of say while the discussion is going on. Just like, so, Captain James, progress, where are we?
As you walk up to the fire, Burnt Tail comes up behind you and just places her paw on your shoulder. And then she doesn't open up the pot like she has been doing before. She just drops her tail directly into the fire.
Just move it up.
Conserve what you have. And so now the Chief Pouncer is part of the conversation as well. So she says, the Nine Claws right now are a little spread out. There was some fights with the bees and with a true hive at our first landing location, and they've been dealing with that for the time being. We were just talking about how many people we can spare to send with you. There's a group that's going to be here at dawn the next day. When you're, what's his name? Marsters?
Masters.
Okay, yeah, him. He's cute, by the way.
Is this Aurora?
Yes. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
But once he gets out of the tree, that should be around the time that they arrive. Once they get here, there will be enough warriors to protect the actual camp while we go back to your camping situation, and we can then start solidifying your position and making sure that you're safe. I do need to warn you, though, that your people need to stay in the camp as much as possible, and we need to communicate that to them somehow. Because there is an encampment of the True Hive only a few miles from where you originally landed.
Okay, which brings me to my second thing. As you can see, my radio is busted. Tell me you have a radio.
I do, but it's going to need some batteries, and also some of the wires have been knocked loose. So it shouldn't take that much work to get it up and running, but we'll just have to see what we can do.
Well, we need to get on that. And in the morning does not fit that hour window.
She starts coughing. And then she stops, and it's like, you were always so impatient, weren't you? Even in bed.
He's going to turn and look at Burntail. Like,
Burntail just says, I don't know anything of your customs.
Why would you discuss business?
We cheated
in your place of sleep.
And this is also a delay in that process. So, cut the chit chat, and let's get down to business.
Okay, we can go ahead and start working on the radio. But it's going to be some time before the brigade arrives so that these people can be safe before we can. We've got a responsibility to them just as much as we have a responsibility to your people.
You mean our people?
Yes, of course our people. What else would I mean?
She's per cat.
Ow.
Look, I tried to make this work as best I could. and there's only so much I can do. I mean, you're used to the logistics of a high technology army. We're dealing with the Stone Age here. And also blueberry pie.
He just dunked his hand in it.
Yeah. So, no offense to Pouncer and Burntail. You are both amazing hunters, amazing warriors, and your people will live on in the memory of all who meet them. But there are limitations here.
Just put it bluntly here. The best thing, if we are to help, is for us to get back to our camp ASAP.
I don't disagree, but ASAP has to be tomorrow morning. That worry line looks cute. Have you been practicing that?
I'm trying to decide if Jeremy actually wants to kill Jordan in real life.
No. He gets up and walks away.
He walks back to his camp.
And with that, we're going to go ahead and break until next week. Thank you very much for listening to Bone Thrower Theater.
Thank you for listening to Bone Thrower's Theater. The cast is Carlin, Jeff, Jeremy, Johnny, Jordan, and Stephanie. This podcast is released under our Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivatives 3.0 Unported license. Please feel free to share the podcast, but please do not modify it or attempt to gain financially from it. To find the show online, visit our site, bonethrowerstheater.com. Our Twitter feed is @BoneThrowersTheater, and our email address is BoneThrowersTheater@gmail.com. Join our social networks on Facebook and Google+. Podcast art was designed by Laura Tress and is used with her permission. Until next time, may the bones fall in your favor. This has been a Nerd Circle podcast production.